Sal Licata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Talking about the Knicks loss to the Heat, 109-101 in Miami for game four of this series. Of course, the series will return back home to the Garden, the world's most famous, on Wednesday night for game five. It's been a nice run here where we have had the Rangers, we've had the Knicks, when, you know, normally we don't get used to those deep postseason runs. And obviously, we had all the winter teams in it with the Knicks and Nets and the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders, of course, all participating in it. But it's been a nice little run, which has helped us turn our attention away from both disappointing baseball teams so far this year. And again, we'll do plenty on that throughout the course of the year, as we always talk about baseball. But once it's we're reacting to Rangers and to Knicks, that always takes precedent, talking about those two teams after a postseason game. And it's just a nice change of pace as opposed to the same old thing, beating up the Rangers beating up the Mets and Yankees after some tough losses and all that stuff. And it's a long season anyway. You know, we're just the beginning of May. Both these teams hovering around 500. The Yankees have certainly been better than the Mets. I don't care what the record says, just in general. The Yankees have been ravaged by injury, and they're still staying above water, although you look at it, the result being 10 games back is far worse because they're in the better division, because the Rays just don't seem to lose. With the Mets, it's more because they are in some serious trouble, and there was some stuff today or yesterday now as we turn officially to this Tuesday morning, some stuff from the Post yesterday about Max Scherzer, who's still dealing with, and Scherzer's pitching today in a huge game for him. Forget about for the Mets. This is a big game for Scherzer. And forget about who they're playing. This is a big game for Scherzer because he was awful last time out. He's talking about how he's trying to pitch through the soreness still in his scapula or shoulder blade, whatever it may be. So Scherzer trying to go through that. Look, if you're hurt, don't pitch. It's as simple as that. Because you being out there, not being effective, is not helping anybody. So I love Scherzer and his toughness, competitiveness. If he's not 100%, don't go out there. It seems like he may not be 100%, but he's still well enough to pitch. And he just says he knows how to manage through this, but he wants to avoid an IL stint. Look, bottom line is, without Scherzer dominating, without Verlander, Scherzer atop that rotation, without Lindor and Alonso hitting, the Mets are they're toast. I mean, there's just no way to overcome that. That's why there's hope for the Yankees. They get Judge back tonight ahead of the Rays series. Now, all of a sudden, the Yankees got Judge and Bader in that same lineup. Look out, the new Bash Brothers. The A's, we expect the Yankees to sweep. But the big series is going to be where they try to make up some ground here, where you would expect they need to take minimum 3 of 4 from the Rays and try to get back, you know, chop into that lead a little bit right now that's at, you know, 10 games for the Rays over the Yankees in the AL East. Anyway, we get into the baseball. Whatever's on your mind about that is fine. But focusing Knicks and their loss and if the series is over or not, I actually don't think, as discouraged and disappointed as I have been with the Knicks in these last two games, games 3 and 4 in Miami. You know, game 3, a complete no-show. Game 4, just no hustle, especially during crunch time. And it is very discouraging to watch that. However, I don't think Miami is that good, and I still think the Knicks could win this series. 877-337-6666. Nick is calling from Westchester. What's up, Nick?
Del, how are you? Good evening.
How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well, thank you. You know, I've watched the Knicks throughout the year, and when they win games, you could typically go to the box score and see that they got a lot of second-chance offensive rebounds, and they beat the other team on the defensive glass, and they shot well from three. And this comes down to Thibodeau. Granted, I don't have a problem with Miami beating us, but the way they're beating us, Thibodeau is an excellent prep coach. He's just not elite. Spoelstra is elite. Their scouting is elite. They were not, if you listen to the timeouts, when they have them mic'd up, they're not going to let Brunson, Randall, and Barrett, who get all their points, pounding the ball into the box. There's three guys waiting for them. They don't spray the ball out to the three-point line quick enough. Miami, one thing they are is quick. They're not more talented, but they're quick. So they've taken how we score away and how we beat teams with massive offensive rebounding games that give us more touches and possessions. And those two things, more than anything, have killed us. Because if you look at talent, Sal, please, I go through this roster. Max Strauss.
No, but they're better coached. You know, they're better coached, and they play harder. And Jimmy Butler's better than anybody the Knicks have. And I love Jalen Brunson. Jimmy Butler's the best player on the floor, though.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
And even Kyle Lowry, like, he's obviously not the player that he once was with Toronto.
Right.
But he's still a proven vet, a guy who's got tremendous talent as well. He was knocking down big shots for Miami in game four as well. But you're right. These other guys, I mean, come on now. Kevin Love is washed up. He's been contributing. Vincent,
Here's my one tweak to Thibodeau. You can't keep doing the same thing. It's insanity. To beat the Heat, the way they're constructed and the way they match up against the Knicks, you have to play, hopefully he's healthy, you need to play two point guards against that team to move the ball, play Grimes. He was a point guard in high school and part in college. You got to play those three guys together as much as possible. I'd even put Randall at the five and play Josh Hart at the four.
Yeah, here's the problem, though.
The ball has to move.
Well, the ball does not move, especially when Julius Randall is on the floor. He is just looking to hog the ball and score his points and get to the rim or just knock down one of his threes, which I know he's been one of their most effective offensive players, but the ball does not move. The Knicks don't have ball movement. Think about this. You're already limited to begin with. Grimes, while he did hit a few three-pointers, finally, last night, Grimes has been a non-factor offensively for the most part. That's a problem. Mitchell Robinson has zero offensive game. Where are the Knicks getting offense from the bench? They're not. I mean, Josh Hart is a good player. He's not a good offensive player. Hartenstein, Toppin, these guys aren't good offense. They're not contributing anything offensively. The Knicks have like two guys, maybe three if you count R.J. Barrett, where they could possibly get offense from. That's it.
Yeah. No, I agree. We need a roster upgrade. And Julius Randle, look, you remember Dominique Wilkins. Great player, 30 points a game, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. Never won anything, never got out of the first round. Julius Randle's a very, very good player, but his game does not translate to playoff basketball. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you, Nick. I think that's probably the best way to say it. Julius Randle's game does not translate well to playoff basketball. And he can get by in the regular season, but when things are turned up and the defense gets a little bit better in the postseason, and we saw it against Atlanta 2 years ago where he was washed out and the Knicks were wiped out because of it. I mean, Julius Randle was their team 2 years ago to get them to that fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. Julius Randle was that guy to carry the team on his back, basically, with very limited players around him. And then in the postseason, Atlanta shut him down. And the Knicks were toast because of it. And then you look at, you know, this year, where at least there are some weapons around him. You know, compared to 2 years ago, the Knicks are light years ahead of that. When you talk about what Jalen Brunson can bring and even R.J. Barrett, although it may be on an inconsistent basis. But still, they're very limited offensively. You can't have, you know, Mitchell Robinson has to have some semblance of an offensive game. And he's got none. Quentin Grimes, he's got to be able to knock down threes consistently. Again, this is not the night to pick on him because he did hit 3 three-pointers, which is huge. But they weren't having that. You know, that's part of the reason why the Knicks were able to keep it within distance. Grimes hitting a couple of big threes, RJ hitting some threes. You know, Brunson's got to be better. We talked about that. But anyway, the Knicks are too limited. They go to the bench. That's it. I mean, they got nothing on that bench. Obi Toppin is an embarrassment. Obi thinks he is a superstar and thinks, and look, I like him personally as far as he seems like a nice kid and he can be electric in transition, but he thinks he's Steph Curry the way he shoots threes, and he just does not. He doesn't shoot threes well, so stop shooting them. He only played 6 minutes. Even Tibbs was like, all right, dude, I've seen enough of you. Thank you. I wouldn't have him out there at all, period. Where's the offense coming from the Knicks bench? You know, a big factor, we haven't talked about it tonight, and the reason why we haven't talked about it is because he wasn't playing well anyway, but a big factor is the loss of Emmanuel Quickley, because IQ was basically the sixth man of the year, and he was an impactful player. You cannot have an impactful player, a guy who's, you know, could have won the sixth man of the year award. You can't have him be a non-factor in the postseason, especially when your team is so thin to begin with. They need that offense. Any team needs offense off the bench. The Knicks in particular need that type of offense. Emmanuel Quickley, you know, we could blame Julius Randle for the postseason 2 years ago in the loss to Atlanta. This year, the number one culprit has to be Emmanuel Quickley. because he's the guy who didn't. Now, look, on this particular night, Mitchell Robinson gets the blame, a little bit of Jalen Brunson, obviously the bench. But Emmanuel Quickley, with what he did in the regular season, the disparity from that to what he's done in the postseason is enormous. That's why he gets the bulk of the blame, as far as I'm concerned. This particular series, you could talk about coaching in favor of Miami. You can talk about hustle, selfless play, all the above, all in favor of Miami. The want to, as Buck talks about, all in favor of Miami. And that's what's tough to take. It'd be one thing if you got beat, but to get out hustled, to get out worked, to get beat at your own game, the Knicks' strengths supposed to be defense and rebounding. We know it ain't offense. We know it ain't shooting. So what exactly is their strength? So for the Knicks to get beat at their own game, that is where you find it frustrating. And that's where it's kind of unacceptable, whether it's on the road or not. You can't get beat at your strengths by a team who isn't as good as you at those particular things. You want to talk about, like I said, the other things, the spacing on offense and having a rhythm on offense and the ball movement and selfless play. Sure, that's clearly Miami has an advantage over the Knicks when it comes to that. But the Knicks can't get out-rebounded. They can't get out-worked. They can't get out-hustled. They can't get to a point where, you know, they're not getting stops when you need to. Play some defense. And they haven't done any of that. So that's the issue here that you have in these last two games, where the Knicks away from home have gotten beat at their own game. They've gotten progressively worse in this series, as opposed to, hey, all right, they lose game one, bounce back in game two. Let's see now if they can make it a series. Is Miami really that much better than them? I don't think that Miami is. I don't think Miami is particularly good. But if you watch these two games in Miami, they were clearly the better team. Better coach team, team that wanted it more. They're just playing at a different level than the Knicks. And that's what would make me worry about this Knicks team, although, like I said, I don't think the series is over, and I'm excited to see what they have in store for Game 5. I'd worry about the soft jaw that this Knicks team has, maybe the mentality, the weak mentality of this Knicks team, to where you see them kind of get down on themselves. And look, maybe it's a playoff experience thing. Maybe it is a, you know, following the leaders thing with Brunson and Randall, and if they're not completely carrying the team and dominating, maybe everybody else puts too much pressure on them. Who the hell knows what's going on? I'm just not looking at a cohesive basketball team right now. And there are plenty of reasons for it. Like we said, Emmanuel Quickley being out, you know, that hurts. But it's not like Quickley was performing at a high level to begin with in this postseason so far. As a matter of fact, he hasn't been. He's been bad in the postseason. The Knicks were able to eliminate the Cavs. I think it speaks to them. You know, there are more bad teams, it seems, in the postseason than we're used to. And maybe that's just the style of play in today's NBA. You know, it used to be the postseason teams were the better teams. Now it's like, man, this is it? Cleveland? How are the Cavs the four seed? And even Miami. They're not that good. They're all right, and they're right now playing better basketball than the Knicks. They're not unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. Where are all the good teams? If they're not in the playoffs, where are they? How does a team like the Bucks get eliminated? You know, you could see one upset, 4-5, but the Bucks to go down the way that they did, now you're seeing a lesser team, even though they smoked them in five games. You're seeing a lesser team in Miami in the second round, and I guess that's why I feel like we haven't seen a good team yet. When we're watching the Knicks. Not the Knicks, not the Cavs, and not really the Heat. Watch the Celtics. Maybe the Sixers. But I haven't seen it yet from watching the Knicks. Maybe got to watch the Western Conference a little bit more. With the Nuggets and Suns, or with the Warriors and Lakers. But as far as the Knicks go, no, I'm not seeing it. You can tell, as I said earlier, even with the Cavs series, you can tell that this Knicks team is just not that good. And unfortunately now, that not that good team is down 3-1 and on the verge of being eliminated on their home floor. The Garden going to have another elimination game where they had it with the Rangers in Game 6, you know, a week and a half ago, whatever it was on that Saturday night. Rangers were able to stave off elimination before losing on Monday in Game 7. Maybe the Knicks can stave off elimination. You don't want to see no celebration at the Garden if it's not taking place with the Knicks or Rangers. And maybe the Knicks can stave off elimination and get that series back to Miami for Game 6. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. We'll continue with your calls on the other side. Whatever it is that you want to discuss on this now Tuesday morning. Knicks losing to the Heat, going down 3-1. Kind of taking the air out of the city here to a certain extent, where you think about, you know, the excitement that could have been if we had ourselves a real series here tied at 2. But now it feels like it's over, foregone conclusion. Although it's not, it feels like that. Anyway, the Knicks will return home to a kind of deflated fan base ahead of Wednesday's Game 5 and see if they could push this series to a Game 6 back down in Miami on Friday night. Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Gerard Gallant was fired over the weekend, no surprise. I mean, we talked about that on Thursday, that I thought that that would be the case. Matter of fact, I probably talked about it after the Rangers lost, that that would be the case. Then we had Vince Mercagliano on Thursday. We talked about it, and after listening to Vince and going over some of the issues that the Rangers had, I thought it was obvious that they needed to make a change. The question now becomes, who the hell are they going to go with? Quenneville is out. Sounds like Sutter is out. You know, the Rangers ruling these guys out. So none of the big names, and even if they do bring in one of those type names, a retread guy, is it any better than Gallant? I mean, that's the issue. So maybe they bring up the guy from their own system here. Who knows? Just a terribly disappointing end to the Rangers season. And very frustrating and actually sad, because I like Gallant a lot. And really, if it's anybody other than Mike Keenan or Mark Messier, I'm not going to be happy with it until we see. And even Messier, I'm not saying he's the right guy for the job, but at least it would get me excited about it. And it's not going to be him, so there's no need to even go down that road. But, you know, just in typical Rangers Garden fashion, they decide to make the change on 5 o'clock on Saturday night, during a Knick playoff game, right before the Kentucky Derby. Like, come on, that's when you're going to news dump that you're making a change with Gallant. It's just so, I don't like Chris Drury. I got to be honest, I don't like Chris Drury. I think he knows how to put together a team. Now, he did one good job, one bad job. This was a mistake, this year's team. Clearly not enough. Not enough toughness. And not enough balance, obviously. All that star power, Kane being a big issue, and maybe a bad trade, even though they could, you know, they got him basically for nothing, and you know, he wanted to force his way here, which made it possible. It turned out to be a colossal failure. But I just don't like Drury. I don't know. I don't want to say as a person, because I don't know him as a person. Something about him rubs me the wrong way. I didn't like him as a player with the Rangers, and while he earned the respect of the fan base after putting together the team last year, I think this year is a big step back, and now there's going to be pressure on both him and whoever he does decide to, to be the head coach of this team. There's going to be question. There's going to be pressure on both those guys, no question. All right, 877-337-6666. Harold is calling from Muncie. What's up, Harold? Harold, you there? Neftali is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Neftali?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to bring up baseball for a minute. Evan Roberts on his show earlier today mentioned that he says that he may be suspecting the Tampa Bay Rays of cheating. He's noting that their record at home is 19-3.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, as a Met fan, it's easier to say. I'm a Yankee fan, personally. But I asked myself, okay, fine, the Rays are cheating. But I think even if they were caught cheating, I don't think that's the issue with the Yankees. I wonder what your opinion on that is.
I don't think that they're cheating. I think that that's a ridiculous accusation. I mean, I'm not just going to get into speculation because the team is off to a great start that they're cheating. So now everybody's like, was Aaron Judge cheating because he had 62 home runs and nobody's ever done that cleanly before?
Right, but everyone on the Rays is hitting home runs. I mean, he brought up specifics. guys that have never touched the ball in their life.
Yeah, I can't explain it, but I don't think but my point is that, so now is everybody that's good or that much better than everybody else, are they cheating?
No, I'm not. I'm not arguing on that.
Right. Well, I don't know. How do I? First of all, Naftali, Evan doesn't know. He's speculating. There's no rumor or anything to this. He's totally speculating. So it's his opinion. But then anybody could say that it's conspiracy theorists too. Like that's the kind of.
I agree. I understand.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that they're cheating. But I mean, I admit to being naive at times. You know.
Uh huh.
I don't think it's, and to your point, I don't think it's the Yankees' problem. The Yankees got to worry about themselves. And the Yankees had them beat. The Yankees had them beat. Up 6-0 with Gerrit Cole on the mound.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean,
appreciate the call.
Well, no, I appreciate you taking the time. I just don't know how to even respond to that. Like, I find it to be a ridiculous accusation. They're cheating. They hit a lot of home runs. All right. I mean, I don't know. So Aaron Judge cheated last year by that account, because Aaron Judge hit more home runs than anybody. Nobody's ever done that before in the American League. Nobody's ever done it cleanly, period. So therefore, Aaron Judge must have been cheating last year. I will admit that when an individual does something like that, and we talked about this last year at the time, it does make you think for a second like, something going on here? But obviously we know that that's not the case. But with the Rays as a team, I mean, how are they cheating? I didn't hear Evan say that. I did hear about Evan saying that. I don't really care, honestly. I don't really care what the Rays do. So they're 19-3 at home. What's their record on the road? They're 10-4. So are they cheating on the road too? They've obviously played way more games at home. Were they not cheating for the three games they lost? Like, how does this work exactly? Are the Orioles cheating? Or is that just, well, you know what, because the Orioles are only, I mean, what, they're 22-13. Are they cheating because they're off to a good start? I just don't understand the logic now. Are the Texas Rangers cheating because they're off to a good start? Was Atlanta cheating last year? How many homers did the Braves hit? So was it just because of their home record that we're you know, coming to this conclusion because they're that good at home? I don't know. I can't get caught up. It's a waste of the time. Dave is in Comac. What's up, Dave?
How are you, Sal?
How are you, Dave?
I was fine until the Islanders ended their season in Game 6.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happens. And for you, it happens quite often.
In any event, that's not really why I'm calling. I'm calling about that I think that the Ledecky needs to fire Lambert, needs to fire Lamoriello, needs to rebuild the team, bring in Daryl Sutter as the coach/GM.
Well, I mean,
because,
I don't think that's, I don't think that
because
that's going to happen.
Sutter had two cups in L.A. in 2012 and 2014, and his brother played for the New York Islanders.
Right. Well, I mean, look, that's not going to happen. As we said before, the Rangers have a vacancy, and I don't think that they're going to go after Sutter. You like the retread guy?
I bet you they do. No,
I thought it already came out that they're not going to.
I think you're wrong.
Well, it's not me. I'm going based off of reports. So where you get why?
I think those reports don't mean anything. I think that it's possible that the Rangers could end up with Sutter because that's the best bet out of all the coaches that are out there. This guy has two cups as a coach.
Yeah. I mean, look, and you'd rather have a proven than not. I mean, I'm just going based off of what we're hearing here, what the reports are. Quenneville, apparently the Rangers aren't going to go down that road. Sutter, apparently not going down that road. Thanks for the call, Dave. Islanders aren't firing Lambert. They just hired him. I mean, the guy I would love was your former guy, Trotz. It's so weird what goes on with these NHL coaches. Well, what, now 2 years they wear out their welcome? Glenn had, by all accounts, two successful years. And because a bad trade at the deadline with Patrick Kane and a team that, for whatever reason, folded like a cheap suit in the postseason after having a 2-0 lead, and he had two successful seasons, and now they're going to make him the scapegoat. And bring in who exactly that's going to be better? Oh, if they brought in Sutter, I mean, I guess I could understand it, but even he gets fired from Calgary. So you're talking about the cups that he won in Los Angeles. Just because you were a Stanley Cup winning head coach doesn't mean you're going to do it again elsewhere. I want Mike Keenan back. What's he doing these days? Dave is in Flatbush. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, Sal?
How are you, Dave?
Good. I mean, based on the two callers ago, I kind of wish the Mets had been cheating the last few weeks.
Yeah, really?
Or they're just not good enough for that. But at this point, I'm really the most optimistic Met fan usually. But it's hard to look at this roster and be optimistic. I mean, Max Scherzer is a shell of himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a few starts. And he's really, I mean, he finished two seasons ago when he wasn't on the Mets with dead arm. The end of last season, the postseason, and in the stretch run, he really was not himself. And he hasn't been pitching well. And we have guys like Canna in the lineup and guys that have no right being on a World Series type team as impact players. I mean, where do they look at this point? They didn't address hitting, right? They didn't address hitting in the offseason. They took the same lineup as they had,
right.
Granted 101 wins. I mean,
this is not a, let's go out and get this to fix this. This is a, hey, we got the guys here. They got to get the job done. I mean, it's as simple as that. So they can't go out and replace all these. You can't replace Max Scherzer. You need Max Scherzer to do what he was brought here to do. You can't replace Lindor. He's got to do what he was brought here to do. Lindor, Marte, Alonso, if those guys don't hit, if Scherzer and Verlander don't pitch, the Mets are done. You could fix the bullpen. You can maybe add an arm in the rotation. It's not going to be Scherzer or Verlander type level. Look, let's give the Mets, I'm going to give them a break on the last several series. I'm going to give them a break over the weekend against Colorado. Let's see what they do starting tonight against Cincinnati with Max Scherzer now back from suspension. It's a second start. No excuses. Let's see what now if they could stabilize here.
Memorial Day is typically that time when we start to get really worried or excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a few weeks for that. That's the truth. But the concern is that these guys are not getting younger. And I think Verlander was fine for a first start to give up two runs in the first inning and then go through five innings. I have no problem
with
that.
He looked nasty, too. Verlander looked good.
Yeah, after the first inning, he was clear. But at some point, players start to tail off. You know, at some point in careers, you know, they don't pitch till they're 50. It's not like Tom Brady in football who just never seemed to get old.
Well, and we could see that with Scherzer potentially, Dave, and thank you for the call. And if that's the case, the Mets are in big trouble. They're built on Scherzer, Verlander atop that rotation. I want to see I'm not making, this is the last start to me. I'm not making any decisions on Scherzer until I see him go out there tonight. I want to see what Max Scherzer does in a second start back. No, he's in rhythm here. No coming off the suspension excuse. No this, no that. He said he felt healthy. No sticky stuff excuse. I want to see what Max Scherzer does tonight against Cincinnati. Then I will assess on whether I think he's done or not. And you could say, well, how are you going to make that decision just based off of one start? It's not. It goes back to last year. Braves wild card. It's the entire start this year. There's always been an excuse for Scherzer. No more excuses. He got that first one and the awful one out of the way. If he gets lit up like that again tonight, they've got a big problem. Now, if he goes out there and gives you five, six innings, two, three runs, not good, but you take it. If he gets hit hard, they're in big trouble. But they won't be able to overcome not having Scherzer or not having Lindor, Alonso, or Marte at the top of their games. Omar is calling from Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. How are you?
Your team stinks.
Yeah, I don't think it stinks. They gave a very little effort. And I think people can say whatever that offensive rebounds. The reason is Thibodeau goes with 7 or 8-man rotation. He didn't go worse on the pitch in the fourth quarter because it's a physical series. And they were a little bit faster to the ball. And physically, you can say that Knicks were still physical enough that they went to the line more than the Miami Heat. But you cannot play this series when the two physical teams are going at each other and you have to play with the refs. last quarter, fourth quarter I'm talking about. I can give you, and I have seen it reversely. The sixth foul on Julius Randle is the most terrible call after the Scottie Pippen call in 1993. That is the insane call.
Yeah, now, could he challenge that? I don't understand.
He couldn't challenge it because he used the cannon in the third quarter and won. That's why he couldn't challenge
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember that.
Then a loose ball foul on the Toronto Raptors point guards. What's his name?
Lowry. Yeah.
Lowry. That was his fifth foul. He was on the offensive position. I reversed it. I checked it. Where when he was complaining to the referee that the way he was caught, he was in the position and Carlisle just fell down and they gave a loose ball foul and then two free throws. There is six or seven possession in the fourth quarter. George Hart, fifth foul. He didn't touch at all when he starts running that he didn't get a technical. That was, he didn't touch anybody. The guy just lost the ball. That was a foul. Then a blocking foul on Brunson. That's a terrible call when he starts running towards Thibodeau. These are four or five fouls happened in fourth quarter in last 6 minutes. You cannot play with the refs too when you are up close 5 points this game and all the calls are going towards in the fourth quarter towards the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but Mitchell your boy Mitchell Robinson didn't do bleep last night. He was an embarrassment. The Knicks couldn't make a stop. There was nobody inside defending the rim. They got to the paint way too easy, be able to get easy buckets for Miami. The Knicks were not hustling on the boards as well. Long rebounds, all that stuff went in favor of Miami. So, yes, I'm not saying that the officiating was great, but come on, Omar, you know better. The Knicks got their rear ends kicked in games 3 and 4.
Game 3, I can say. I cannot say. I was very down on game 3, the way they got out settled, and they said they beat them in the physically, the way, and I thought the series is over in 5. But after watching tonight...
Whoa! You still think the series is over in 5, or what?
No, I thought that the Miami Heat series will win in 5. And now I'm saying that after watching tonight, Knicks are winning game 5 no matter what. So we will see what happens in game 6. Knicks are winning game 5 now. Guarantee. Game 5 win. Knicks.
Oh, no more guarantee. Are you going to be in the building?
I had to go to win it. Probably I'll go.
Come on, Omar. I expect to see you there. Let's go. Are you going to be in the building?
I spent almost $6,000 already this playoff series.
Well, tell your sons, you know what? This one's for daddy. You guys can sit this one out and watch on.
We are waiting for the Eastern Conference Final NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Keep waiting. It might be another 30 years before that's the case.
No, it's happening. I'm not even saying that we lose the series. I think.
All right, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. This is going to be your official invite. You're guaranteeing the Knicks win Game 5 Wednesday at the Garden.
Yes, they are winning Game 5.
So if that happens, Game 6, I'm going to try to go out to a bar in Manhattan and watch the game with some callers, listeners, friends, whatever. Are you coming to that or what?
Game 6 on Friday night with the bar?
Hey, game 6 Friday night. We'll do a bar right around the Garden, maybe Stout. I don't know, something like that. Are you going to be in for that or what?
Well, I'll come in. Let's hope for the game 5 win.
Now we're hoping? You just guaranteed victory.
I'm guaranteeing a win, but it has to happen practically. Then we can go to a party.
All right. So if they win, like you guarantee they will, I'm going to see you at the bar on Friday night for the game. We're going to watch
it
together.
Yes, we will talk about this.
All right, Omar.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Omar, a subdued Omar in Brooklyn. Although he did guarantee a win. Sal, kind of back on the fan, 877-337-6666. Much like Omar in Brooklyn, I actually agree with him. I do think the Knicks are going to win Game 5. What happens beyond that? Who the hell knows? But I do think the Knicks are going to win Game 5. They're not going out like that. Not to Miami. Same way I felt about the Rangers in Game 6. I really do believe the Knicks are going to win this Game 5 and send it back to a Game 6 Friday night in Miami and at least give us, you know, one more game. Now, again, down there, all bets are off. For this one, I feel like the Knicks are going to get up off the mat here. It looks bleak. It feels bad right now. Nothing encouraging from these last two games. But it could change quickly, and they could look like a totally different team, especially playing at home in front of the Knicks fan faithful. Mickey the Gravedigger calling from the Bronx. What's up, Mickey?
Oh, my man, what is up?
How are you, Mickey? Don't dig that Knicks grave just yet.
I ain't digging that Knicks grave yet. I told you. I told you what I did with the what I did with the Ranger flag.
What's that?
So I had on my backhaul, right? So I have a front loader, right? So it has like a bulldozer on the front, and then it has like a digger in the back, mm-hmm. right? So what I did was I was digging a grave, and then I dug that with all the water, and I had my Ranger flag, like, you know, I have like an American flag that, you know, you put on like the window,
yeah,
and
sure,
Ranger,
sure.
And I had a Ranger flag. I took the Ranger flag and I just buried it 5 feet deeper and I threw it in the hole and I buried the friggin' Ranger flag after they lost. And then all I said to myself after I left, imagine that guy was a diehard Devil fan and he's buried with a Ranger flag.
Yeah, that's not nice, Mickey, now that I think about it. Hey, real quick before you get to your next point, you ever think about, like, you know, who's going to dig your grave?
I'm not going in the grave. I'm going in the ocean.
Oh, there you go. So you haven't really. So you have thought about it. Nobody's going to do it.
No, I'm going in the. So what I thought is that my families have owned the beach house in Long Beach Island since 1963. My grandparents bought it down there for $3,200. It's on the bay.
Wow.
It's worth $1 million now.
This is in Jersey.
Yeah, all the way in Long Beach Island. Yeah, it's like the Hamptons of.
Yeah. I've been there once.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So I got a boat in the back and stuff and everything. I go fishing. I'm a big fisherman. Me and Greg talk all the time about fishermen. I'm fisherman.
Oh, you and Gio?
Yeah, me and Gio are tight.
Does Gio, you mean like on the air or like in real life?
No, on Instagram.
Oh, does he know that you're a gravedigger?
No.
Oh, dude, come on. You got to call him up and tell him that you don't call him up in the morning? Because you're probably, like, digging graves and stuff.
No, right? Because, you know, I'm actually leaving my grave digger. I just got hired by, New York City made a new group. It's an affiliation of the FDNY. It's called New York City EMTs.
Mm.
And I just got hired by that. I'm going to be a New York City EMT now.
Congratulations. But I got to be honest, I like you as Mickey the Grave Digger. Can we just still call you that?
Yeah, I'll still be working there part-time.
Okay, cool. All right, so what's on your mind?
Extra money.
Yeah.
Sal, I was thinking about going to the game. If not, I would like to meet up in the city beforehand.
On when? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to be meeting up beforehand, but if you go to the game, I can meet you. I'll be in section 227, so you can come say hello if you go to the game. I don't know how I would potentially meet
up. How cheap are the tickets you're getting?
I mean, you're probably still looking at, you know, probably you could get in for maybe around $350. I would say maybe.
Oh, hell no.
You have to dig a bunch of graves for that. I know.
And also,
look, here's what you do. If there's a game six, I am going to be in the city, and we are planning on having some sort of a watch party. I just don't know exactly where yet. But that will be, I'll disclose that on the air.
Yeah, and if you talk to, Craig and talk to, Jerry and talk mm-hmm. to Eddie and tell them what I gave them, I can give to you.
Okay.
So, can I give,
guess?
No, I can't tell them. Oh. I can't tell.
Is it an urn?
No, it's better than that. It has to do with parking and with you'll never have to worry about parking ever again.
Oh, really? I'll meet you up. Where are we meeting? I'll make a point. Screw Steve and Howard Beach. I'm meeting you up, Mickey.
All right, I can meet you. Want to meet me in like the Heights one day?
Oh no, I thought you meant in the city at the Garden.
No, I
game
can
five.
Meet you at the Heights, or like what about at the radio station? Are you going to the live show?
What live show?
Boomer and Geo.
No, they have another one coming up.
Are they going to down the shore one?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, here's what we'll do, Mickey. If you can't make the game six watch party.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I can. Hold on. Can you get me off air?
Yeah.
Take my number down and I can mail it to you.
We'll do. We'll do. When you're done with your next point, I'll put you on hold and have Manny get your information, okay?
Yeah, and then you contact me, and then, like, dude, I'm not a creep. I ain't going to call you. I ain't going to blow you up.
I'm not going to give you my cell phone number. Matter of fact, I'm going to put you on hold now, Mickey the Gravedigger. Go ahead, man. You can get his info now, because we went over a lot of stuff there. with Mickey, and I want to get another call in here before we go to the top. But yeah, hooking me up with some parking special, whatever it may be. It sounds pretty good to me. But anyway, if you do want to come hang, if there is a game six, we're gonna get it from we're gonna try to figure out a spot to watch that night. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
So what's going on? Real quick, if you need anybody in the Heights to get anything for you, I'm your man. So.
That is a good point. And maybe we have Mickey relay to Hector. Hector could relay it to me.
You can trust me, and you definitely know you'll see me on Wednesday. On Saturday.
Let me ask you something. Can I be given, like, off the air, should I give the gravedigger my address? I don't know. That's a little, you know what I mean?
Whoa. Listen, I don't know. That's up to you.
Yeah. But what would your advice be on that?
I don't know, sir. I mean, you gave me your address. How did you decide to do that?
Yeah, but you're not a grave digger. I mean, whatever. I needed you to pick me up and drive me somewhere. Hey, are you going to the game? Are you going to the game Wednesday night?
That's just his job, man. Oh, heck no. I mean, listen, no. You know my situation right now. That's the last thing I can do is go to the game right now. But I'll tell you this. I got an advice for anybody that's looking for tickets to the game. Always, always go directly to the Garden and see what you can find. You'll be surprised, and you'll save yourself on fees. Before you go to Ticketmaster, before you go to StubHub and all that good stuff, always, always go there.
What, just to the window?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know. And you save the fees there?
Absolutely.
Well, if I knew that, I would have been buying these tickets. I might as well take the subway to go
sometimes
to the...
Sometimes, for as much as you know, you surprise me with it. You don't know, brother.
Well, I thought that that's the case, but also sometimes it's easier just to get it right then and there on the phone. But these fees are ridiculous. Sometimes they're $100 a ticket.
Exactly.
And hey, are you coming? If there's game six, are you going to come to the watch party?
If I don't come to the watch party, there is no watch
correct.
Party.
I'm just mad. That's right, hey, Hector.
Plus,
that's right.
Plus, I'm not sharing your optimism. Listen, they can get hot and win a couple of games and maybe win three games. I hope so. I'm a fan. But when Omar said he was coming, come on, man. You got to go meet the legend. Almost a legend. I'm looking forward to that.
That would be but some man, crew. Don't. Me, you. I think Doug is going to be in. Omar.
Doug
ooh.
Better be in. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Doug better be in. I know he's probably listening. Doug. I mean, listen. We talk to Doug. Don't worry about it.
Marco, you going to come to the watch party? Oh, you got to work Friday night.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. My Marco's working.
Listen, I like Marco. That would be great. And Marco has made some great points on this series and even earlier tonight, man. So that would be fun. Too bad Marco got to work. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Sal.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Listen, before the series, I told you I was worried about Spo, and you told me, no, don't worry. Tibbs is right up there with him. Now I heard you say earlier today, he's been outcoached. We've been outcoached. We've been outplayed. Their best player is better than our best player. Their role players are better than our role players. Like, that's really it. Like, people could complain about refs, complain about this. They're the better team. They really are to me. Now, again, we can get hot, maybe beat them three games. I want to be there with you. I just don't see the path to do that. And I mean, I get frustrated with people saying, what do you want him to do? Do anything, guy. You even have someone there that if there's anything that he can do, and you guys have mentioned him, Evan Fournier, and to not even try to put him in the game.
Think about
if you put Fournier in the game? What if you put him in the game and he goes hot? And here's your 4-5-3.
Right. I'm just saying, think about how bad it's gotten, Hector, for the Knicks and their fans when we're clamoring for Evan Fournier.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And listen, I really don't want to talk about this too much. And I know Randall's going to get most of the blame. And I've been a Randall guy, but I can't defend him. I really can't defend him. But I also think, man, listen, if this team really had someone that could actually knock down a three, one or two guys, it may look different. And I've never been as high on Mitchell Robinson. And I wonder if that's the move. Try to trade, I don't know if you can say high on Mitch, and see if maybe with trading Mitch you can get some shooters and get another center in here that can do a little bit of what Mitch does but also provide something offensively.
Whoa.
I don't know how Mitchell Robinson doesn't walk on the court and give you 10 and 10 every single
How
day.
Nice would it be? Yeah, I think it's an interesting point, Hector. And as always, thank you for the call. How nice would it be to have a... I just saw a commercial and I got distracted. Did you see that commercial, Marco, for TNT?
Oh, I saw Hulk Hogan and what now?
Gawker. Remember the Hulk Hogan versus Gawker thing?
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So this TNT is doing like this kind of sports documentary show where they dive into those type things. Huh. I saw Dennis Rodman on there. That looks good. I don't know what the name. Did you catch the name of the show?
No, I just saw Hulk Hogan.
Well, the Hogan.
I figured that's why you were getting distracted when I looked up.
I'm like, anyway, how nice would it be to have a center with some offensive game? I'm not asking for the big fella like Patrick Ewing out there, but my goodness, can you have somebody that could do something with the ball, especially in today's game where it's all about the big men stretching the floor, right?
Look, that'd be nice, and that's great. How about you do what you're actually supposed to do and get back and be a defensive presence? Because, Mitchell Robinson, you kind of hit it earlier tonight. We were talking about the guy that wants the offense to go through him a little bit more. I'm not just here to do cardio.
All right.
Well, you know what, Mitch? You might want to do a little bit more cardio and not lag behind and not be the guy that's falling behind and not protecting the paint. And guys are getting inside and the heat left and right and getting easy buckets because you're not there to protect the rim.
But here's the bigger problem, Marco. I'm fine. You're right. Like, if Mitch does his job, if you were to tell me he's going to be a rim protector and rebound, I'm fine with that. With the team that's built with shooters around it.
Like, agreed.
You can't have limitations. You can't have a center with zero offensive game and then other guys who are completely limited offensively. Like, what is Grimes at this point? RJ, we know, is inconsistent. Randall's got his issues. And that's just the starting five. And without Quickly, and obviously Quickly is hurt, but even when he was healthy, he wasn't doing anything. What do they've got? On the bench, they've got nothing.
No, again, look, Quickly is the only guy that's supposed to be the instant offense and be able to knock down the three and give them points off the bench and be able to extend everything. And he just hasn't played well, and obviously didn't play at all in this one, but he hasn't been good in the playoffs at all. So when you lose that shooting, that's a problem. Obi Toppin's supposed to be a guy that's a knockdown three-pointer. Guess what?
He's not. He just can't shoot. He's supposed to be their big to stretch the floor.
Look, he can hit a few threes, but if you're asking him to be consistent, he's not.
And here's how I know that he's not a good shooter, and it's similar to RJ. When they miss, like especially Obi, when he misses, dude, it's airball city. Like, you can't do that. That's like me. Yeah, I could bang a three occasionally.
Yeah.
If I shoot 10 threes, I'll get one to go. But the other nine might not touch iron.
That's the thing. And you wind up, you hit the back iron on the other side, just a total brick. He's not a shooter.
It's all right.
He's not a shooter. Now, RJ Barrett is not a shooter either, but he's a slasher and he can get to the rim. Toppin could get to the rim in the fast break situation. They got too many guys that are all the same thing where they have to be able to slash and get to the rim to be able to get their offense going. That's fine in and of itself, but not when your entire team is constructed that way. They have nobody in this day and age to be able to knock down a three, and that's a problem. Because as much as we talk about it and we're like, you know, this team reminds you of like the 90s Knicks and the grit. And you and I love those teams with all our heart and soul.
Right.
But guess what?
The game's changed.
As much as you want to say it, you take the 90s Knicks and put them in today's game, they're going to get whipped because you can't play that kind of defense and they can't knock down a shot.
Now, they will, they would physically assault you on the floor.
Right.
But they'd get beat. Yeah.
They can't. It's just a different style. They wouldn't be able to keep up because you're going to knock down three. And they're not going to get shots on the other end. They didn't shoot that well.
I would love to see that. No, they get the ball.
Play those rules, though.
They get the ball down low to the big fella.
You got to play those rules, though.
What rules?
You got to play the 90s rules. You can't play today's rules. You play today's rules, the next.
Are you talking about pre-hand check or post-hand check?
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to give the hand check. You're also not going to be allowed to play zone defense. Like, there's a lot of rules that have changed to be able to help out. If you play zone defense on the old Knicks, it's over.
Yeah, I know, because they have nobody to.
You get nobody to shoot. You're going to have two guys on Patrick Ewing, and it's easy.
You go download Ewing, he's got to kick it out.
Right, and
Starks have
what?
A hot night or not.
You're done.
Hubert Davis.
You're done. That team had some Achilles heels, which was being able to make some shots, but they made up for it in toughness.
Wasn't it
defense?
Nice, though, to know what they were doing? Like, kick it down low to Ewing, run through him. He could kick it out to Harper, Starks, whoever hoped to hit the open three.
Right.
Oakley from the elbow with the jumper. Like, man, it was just such a simple thing back then. And now it's like, with the Knicks in particular, the other teams, even watching a little bit of the Lakers-Warriors, there's a reason why they pass the ball around the perimeter, find the open man. Because those guys who shoot the open shot knock it down. Well, imagine Klay and Steph Curry. I mean, I know they're two of the all-time greats,
but still. And I think this is part of it. Look, and I get caught up in this too. I think we all do. We watch the Knicks on a nightly basis, and you watch other teams by watching the Knicks, and you see other games here and there.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not keeping up on the league, but you watch mostly the Knicks, and you see them play other teams. In the playoffs, do yourself a favor. Watch the Lakers and the Warriors. watch the Nuggets in the Sun. Watch some of the other teams that are still involved in the playoffs, and I think you'll come to the realization, man, this nickname is just not as good as
correct.
I thought it was. It just really isn't. They don't have all the ingredients necessary to make a playoff run where you're playing up against the big boys, much as we thought going in, and they did. They match up with the Heat. They do. But the Heat have guys that are playoff tested and playoff ready and can do the things when it comes down to it that you need to win ball games late. Knicks don't have
They're
any of that.
Good compared to the old Knicks team, not old Knicks,
right.
The recent Knicks teams that
right.
we were watching, the
right.
17 win, 20 win, you know, worthless Knicks teams. By the way, I don't know. Sal kind of back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Much like Omar in Brooklyn, I actually agree with him. I do think the Knicks are going to win Game 5. What happens beyond that, who the hell knows? But I do think the Knicks are going to win Game 5. They're not going out like that. Not to Miami. Same way I felt about the Rangers in Game 6. I really do believe the Knicks are going to win this Game 5 and send it back to a Game 6 Friday night in Miami and at least give us, you know, one more game. Now, again, down there, all bets are off. For this one, I feel like the Knicks are going to get up off the mat here. It looks bleak. It feels bad right now. Nothing encouraging from these last two games, but it could change quickly and make it look like a totally different team, especially playing at home in front of the Knicks fan faithful. Mickey the Gravedigger calling from the Bronx. What's up, Mickey?
Oh, my man, what is up?
How are you, Mickey? Don't dig that Knicks grave just yet.
I ain't digging that Knicks grave yet. I told you. I told you what I did with the Ranger. What I did with the Ranger flag.
What's that?
So I had. On my backhaul, right. So I have a front loader, right. So it has like a bulldozer on the front, and then it has like a digger in the back,
mm-hmm.
right. So what I did was I was digging a grave, and then I dug that with all the water. And I had my Ranger flag, like, you know, I have like an American flag that, you know, you put on like the window.
Yeah,
and
sure,
Ranger,
sure.
And I had a Ranger flag. So I took the Ranger flag and I just buried it 5 feet deeper and I threw it in the hole and I buried the friggin' Ranger flag after they lost. And then all I said to myself after I left, imagine that guy was a diehard Devil fan and he's buried with a Ranger flag.
Yeah, that's not nice, Mickey, now that I think about it. Hey, real quick, before we get to your next point, you ever think about, like, you know, who's going to dig your grave?
I'm not going in the grave. I'm going in the ocean.
Oh, there you go. So you haven't really, so you have thought about it. Nobody's going to do it.
No, I'm going in the, so what I thought is that my families have owned the beach house in Long Beach Island since 1963. My grandparents bought it down there for $3,200. It's on the
wow.
bay. It's worth $1 million now.
This is in Jersey?
And, yeah, it's all the way in Long Beach Island. Yeah, it's like the Hamptons of
yeah, I've been there once.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So I got a boat in the back and stuff and everything. I go fishing. I'm a big fisherman. Me and Greg talk all the time about fishermen. I'm fisherman.
Oh, you and Gio?
Yeah, me and Gio are tight.
Does Gio, you mean like on the air or like in real life?
No, on Instagram.
Oh, does he know that you're a gravedigger?
No.
Oh, dude, come on. You got to call him up and tell him that you don't call him up in the morning? Because you're probably like digging graves and stuff.
No, right? Because, you know, I'm actually leaving my gravedigger. I just got hired by, New York City made a new group. It's an affiliation of the FDNY. It's called New York City EMTs.
Mm.
And I just got hired by that. I'm going to be in New York City EMT now.
Congratulations. But I got to be honest, I like you as Mickey the Gravedigger. Can we just still call you that?
Yeah, I'll still be working there part-time.
Okay, cool. All right, so what's on your mind?
Extra money.
Yeah.
Sal, I was thinking about going to the game. If not, I would like to meet up in the city beforehand.
On when? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to be meeting up beforehand, but if you go to the game, I can meet you. I'll be in section 227, so you can come say hello if you go to the game. I don't know how I would potentially meet
how
up.
How cheap are the tickets you're getting?
I mean, you're probably still looking at, you know, probably you could get in for maybe around $350. I would say maybe.
Oh, hell no.
You have to dig a bunch of graves for that. I know.
And also.
Well, look, here's what you do. If there's a game six, I am going to be in the city, and we are planning on having some sort of a watch party. I just don't know exactly where yet. But that will be, I'll disclose that on the air.
Yeah, and if you talk to Craig and talk to Jerry and talk to Eddie and tell them what I gave them, I can give to you.
Okay.
So if can I can I give,
guess?
No, I can't tell them. All. I can't tell.
Is it an urn?
No, it's better than that. It has to do with parking, and with you never have to worry about parking ever again.
Oh, really? I'll meet you up. Where are we meeting? I'll make a point. Screw Steve and Howard Beach. I'm meeting you up, Mickey.
All right, I can meet you. Want to meet me in like the Heights one day?
Oh no, I thought you meant in the city at the Garden. Meet
you at the Heights, or like what about at the radio station? Are you going to the live show?
What live show?
Boomer and Geo.
No, they have another one coming up.
Are they going to down the shore one?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, here's what we'll do, Mickey. If you can't make the Game 6 watch party,
hold on. Can you get me off air?
Take
my number down, and I can mail it to you.
We'll do. When you're done with your Knicks point, I'll put you on hold and have Manny get your information. Okay.
Yeah, and then you contact me, and then like, dude, I'm not a creep. I ain't gonna call you. I ain't gonna blow you up.
I'm not gonna give you my cell phone number. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put you on hold now, Mickey the Gravedigger. Go ahead, man. You can get his info now because we went over a lot of stuff there with Mickey, and I want to get another call in here before we go to the top. But yeah, hooking me up with some parking special, whatever it may be. It sounds pretty good to me. But anyway, if you do want to come hang, if there is a Game 6, we're gonna get it from we're gonna try to figure out a spot to watch that night. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
So what's going on? Real quick, if you need anybody in the Heights to get in it before you, I'm your man. So.
That is a good point. And maybe we have Mickey relay to Hector. Hector could relay it to me.
You can trust me, and you definitely know you'll see me on Wednesday. I'm Saturday.
Let me ask you something. Can I be given, like, off the air, should I give the Gravedigger my address? I don't know. That's a little, you know what I mean?
Whoa. Listen, I don't know. That's up to you.
Yeah. What would your advice be on that?
I don't know, sir. I mean, you gave me your address. How did you decide to do that?
Yeah, but you're not a gravedigger. I mean, whatever. I needed you to pick me up and drive me somewhere. Hey, are you going to the game? Are you going to the game Wednesday night?
That's just his job, man. Oh, heck no. I mean, listen. No. You know my situation right now. That's the last thing I can do is go to the game right now. But I'll tell you this. I got an advice for anybody that's looking for tickets to the game. Always, always go directly to the Garden and see what you can find. You'll be surprised. And you'll save yourself on fees. Before you go to Ticketmaster, before you go to StubHub and all that good stuff, always, always go there.
What, just to the window?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. And you save the fees there?
Absolutely.
Well, if I knew that, I would have been buying these tickets. I might as well take the subway to go
sometimes
to the...
Sometimes, for as much as you know, you surprise me with it. You don't know, brother.
Well, I thought that that's the case, but also sometimes it's easier just to get it right then and there on the phone. But these fees are ridiculous. Sometimes they're $100 a ticket.
Exactly. And
hey, are you coming? If there's Game 6, are you going to come to the watch party?
If I don't come to the watch party, there is no watch.
Correct.
Party.
I'm just mad. That's right, Hector.
Plus,
that's right.
Plus, I'm not sharing your optimism. Listen, they can get hot and win a couple of games and maybe win 3 games. I hope so. I'm a fan. But when Omar said he was coming, come on, man. You got to go meet the legend. Almost a legend. I'm looking forward to that.
That would be some crew. So, me, you. I think Doug is going to be in. Omar.
Doug better be in. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Doug better be in. I know he's probably listening. Doug. I mean, listen. We talk to Doug. Don't worry about it.
Marco, are you going to come to the watch party? Oh, you got to work Friday night.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. My Marco's working.
I like Marco. That would be great. And Marco has made some great points on this series. And even earlier tonight, man. So that would be fun. Too bad Marco got to work. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Sal.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Listen, before the series, I told you I was worried about Spo, and you told me, no, don't worry. Tibbs is right up there with him. Now I heard you say earlier today, we've been outcoached. We've been outplayed. Their best player is better than our best player. Their role players are better than our role players. Like, that's really it. Like, people could complain about refs, complain about this. They're the better team. They really are to me. Now, again, we can get hot, maybe beat them 3 games. I want to be there with you. I just don't see the path to do that. And I mean, I get frustrated with some people saying, what do you want them to do? Do anything, guy. You even have someone there that if there's anything that he can do, and you guys have mentioned him, Evan Fournier, and to not even try to put him in the game.
Think about how bad.
What if you put Fournier in the game? What if you put him in the game, and he goes hot, and hits you 4 or 5 3.
Right, I'm just saying, think about how bad it's gotten, Hector, for the Knicks and their fans when we're clamoring for Evan Fournier.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. And listen, and I don't really want to talk about this too much, and I know Randall's going to get most of the blame, and I've been a Randall guy, but I can't defend him. I really can't defend him. But I also think, man, listen, if this team really had someone that could actually knock down a three, one or two guys, it may look different. And I've never been a high on Mitchell Robinson, and I wonder if that's the move. Try to trade, I don't know if you can say high on Mitch, and see if maybe with trading Mitch you can get some shooters and get another center in here that can do a little bit of what Mitch does, but also provide something offensively.
Well,
I don't know how Mitchell Robinson doesn't walk on the court and give you 10 and 10.
How nice would it be? Yeah, I think it's an interesting point, Hector. And as always, thank you for the call. How nice would it be to have a? You know, I just saw a commercial and I got distracted. Did you see that commercial, Marco, for TNT?
Oh, I saw Hulk Hogan and what now?
Gawker. Remember the Hulk Hogan versus Gawker thing?
Oh yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So this TNT is doing like this kind of sports documentary show where they dive into those type things. Huh. I saw Dennis Rodman on there. That looks good. I don't know what the name. Did you catch the name of the show?
No, I just saw Hulk Hogan.
Well, the Hogan.
I figured that's why you were getting distracted when I looked up.
I'm like, anyway, how nice would it be to have a center with some offensive game? I'm not asking for the big fella like Patrick Ewing out there, but my goodness, can you have somebody that could do something with the ball, especially in today's game where it's all about the big men stretching the floor, right?
Look, that'd be nice, and that's great. How about you do what you're actually supposed to do and get back and be a defensive presence? Because, Mitchell Robinson, you kind of hit it earlier tonight. We were talking about the guy that wants the offense to go through him a little bit more. I'm not just here to do cardio.
All right.
Well, you know what, Mitch? You might want to do a little bit more cardio and not lag behind and not be the guy that's falling behind and not protecting the paint. And guys are getting inside and the heat left and right and getting easy buckets because you're not there to protect the rim.
But here's the bigger problem, Marco. I'm fine. You're right. Like, if Mitch does his job, if you were to tell me he's going to be a rim protector and rebound, I'm fine with that. With the team that's built with shooters around it.
Like, agreed.
You can't have limitations. You can't have a center with zero offensive game and then other guys who are completely limited offensively. Like, what is Grimes at this point? RJ, we know, is inconsistent. Randall's got his issues. And that's just the starting five. And without Quickly, and obviously Quickly is hurt, but even when he was healthy, he wasn't doing anything. What do they've got? On the bench, they've got nothing.
No, again, look, Quickly is the only guy that's supposed to be the instant offense and be able to knock down the three and give them points off the bench and be able to extend everything. And he just hasn't played well, and obviously didn't play at all in this one, but he hasn't been good in the playoffs at all. So when you lose that shooting, that's a problem. Obi Toppin's supposed to be a guy that's a knockdown three-pointer. Guess what?
He's not.
He just can't shoot.
He's supposed to be their big to stretch the floor.
Look, he can hit a few threes, but if you're asking him to be consistent, he's not.
And here's how I know that he's not a good shooter, and it's similar to RJ. When they miss, like especially Obi, when he misses, dude, it's airball city.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. That's like me. Yeah, I could bang a three occasionally.
Yeah.
If I shoot 10 threes, I'll get one to go. But the other nine might not touch iron.
That's the thing. And you wind up, you hit the back iron on the other side, just a total brick. He's not a shooter.
It's all right.
He's not a shooter. Now, RJ Barrett is not a shooter either, but he's a slasher and he can get to the rim. Toppin could get to the rim in the fast break situation. They got too many guys that are all the same thing where they have to be able to slash and get to the rim to be able to get their offense going. That's fine in and of itself, but not when your entire team is constructed that way. They have nobody in this day and age to be able to knock down a three, and that's a problem.
Because
as much as we talk about it and we're like, you know, this team reminds you of like the 90s Knicks and the grit, and you and I love those teams with all our heart and soul.
Right.
But guess what?
The game's changed.
As much as you want to say it, you take the 90s Knicks and put them in today's game, they're going to get whipped because you can't play that kind of defense and they can't knock down a shot.
Now, they will, I mean, they would physically assault you on the floor,
right?
But they'd get beat. Yeah.
They can't.
It's just a different style.
They wouldn't be able to keep up because you're going to knock down three. And they're not going to get shots on the other end. They didn't shoot that well.
I would love to see that. No, they
got to play those rules, though.
They get the ball down low to the big fella.
You got to play those rules, though.
What rules?
You got to play the 90s rules. You can't play today's rules. You play today's rules, the Knicks, the 90s.
Are you talking about pre-hand check or post-hand check?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to give the hand check. You're also not going to be allowed to play zone defense. Like, there's a lot of rules that have changed to be able to help out. If you play zone defense on the old Knicks, it's over.
Yeah, I know, because they have nobody to...
You get nobody to shoot. You're going to have two guys on Patrick Ewing, and
right.
It's easy.
You go download Ewing, easy. He's got to kick it out.
Right, and Stars kick it out
have
what?
A hot night or not.
Nah, and you're done. You're done.
Hubert Davis.
You're done. Again, that team had some Achilles heels, which was being able to make some shots, but they made up for it in toughness.
Wasn't it nice, though, to know what they were doing? Like, kick it down low to Ewing, run through him. He could kick it out to Harper, Starks, whoever hoped to hit the open three.
Right.
Oakley from the elbow with the jumper. Like, man, it was just such a simple thing back then. And now it's like, with the Knicks in particular, you know, the other teams, even watching a little bit of the Lakers-Warriors, there's a reason why they pass the ball around the perimeter, find the open man. Because those guys who shoot the open shot... knock it down. Well, imagine Klay and Steph Curry. I mean, I know they're two of the all-time greats,
no,
but
still. And I think this is part of it. Look, and I get caught up in this too. I think we all do. We watch the Knicks on a nightly basis, and you watch other teams by watching the Knicks, and you see other games here and there. And
yeah.
It's not like you're not keeping up on the league, but you watch mostly the Knicks, and you see them play other teams. In the playoffs, do yourself a favor. Watch the Lakers and the Warriors. Watch the Nuggets in the Sun. Watch some of the other teams that are still involved in the playoffs, and I think you'll come to the realization, man, this Knick team is just not as good as
correct.
I thought it was. It just really isn't. They don't have all the ingredients necessary to make a playoff run where you're playing up against the big boys, much as we thought going in, and they did. They match up with the Heat. They do. But the Heat have guys that are playoff tested and playoff ready and can do the things when it comes down to it that you need to do to win ball games late. Knicks don't have
they're
any of that.
Good compared to the old Knicks team, not old Knicks,
right.
The recent Knicks teams that right. we were watching, the right. 17 win, 20 win, you know, worthless Knicks teams. By the way, I don't know if you're smelling this or not, but I am all night long. Have you got a whiff of this? What is that?
What's that? That's a Samoa.
Yeah,
that's
Samoa.
The Girl Scouts.
I forgot the name of it. I'm assuming it's Craigie. He must
I
have
would
left.
Think so.
And now he must have also eaten the entire thing. There are two Samoa cookies left. Right here, in between where Marco and I are sitting, and this is Craig's seat, of course, and I smell it. Like, I don't know if it's on the microphone that I'm smelling
it
from.
Yeah, I think it might be on the mic.
Oh, my God, but it's so tempting. Now, I can't eat that. And first of all, I'm not eating it because it's Craig's. Yeah.
You can't eat one cookie?
That's been sitting out here. Like, it's not even covered. Who knows how much spit went into that thing? You know, Craig here doing what he's...
Because you think it's disgusting, not because you can't eat one cookie.
Well... I also don't want to eat that during the week. I just came off a bad weekend. I had some pizza yesterday.
Oh, no.
You know, had some drinks on Saturday at that party. You know, I know. It was a rough one. But, dude,
I'll
tell you.
How do you live with yourself?
I know. Well, I'm trying to get in shape, Marco.
Trying to get in
shape. Now, are these your favorite Girl Scout cookies?
You know what? I think I like the Tagalongs better.
Ooh.
Those are the peanut butter ones.
Is it Girl Scout cookie season?
I'll be fair. I don't remember last time I had a Girl Scout
Me
cookie.
Me neither, but I love them.
No, they're awesome, and I remember, look at you, I'm spitting
Samoa.
Out the names left and right. Samoa's Tagalongs, there was something, I didn't like the Thin Mints.
Oh,
see,
man,
I'm not
I
a big
love
thin
the
mint.
Thin Mints.
Not a big, and I know they got new ones now.
New Thin Mints?
No, new Girl Scout cookies. They're like different flavors that I don't know about. I'm going back, you know, when we were younger.
Do-si-dos, which ones
I don't
are
know
those?
What those are.
I like the plain ones, too. I'm all for a good Girl Scout cookie.
I think there's new ones that are probably even maybe necessarily better than some of
Why
these.
Why is it going to be like a once-a-year thing? I want them now.
I don't know, but apparently because no one likes me, I don't know anybody that came to me with Girl Scout cookie stuff, so I haven't bought any. Because I don't know anybody.
I want to buy some Girl Scout cookies. So, like, if I want to do that right now, I can't even do it. I would like to go to, like, you know, Stop and Shop or Whole Foods. Well, I guess it wouldn't be at Whole Foods. But you know what I mean? Like, on the way home, go pick up
They're
some.
They're not, like, on the shelf, right?
No,
like, don't
you can't
have to,
get
like,
it.
Yeah.
Although I think that I don't know if it's friendly. Somebody made an ice cream with these Samoa cookies in it.
Huh.
And it's delicious. It was delicious.
Well,
I haven't had it
up?
In years, but... That was when I was living single in the city on my own. I was just going, whoa, what's this? Samoa ice cream? Yes, sir. Sign me up. I'll just eat the whole thing. That was great. Those are the good old days. Not that I couldn't do that now being married, of course, because married life is also
How do you
great.
Live with yourself?
But anyway, I just wish we could get, like right now, I want to order one of everything, please. What are they, like $5 a box? Maybe
I don't
more?
Know. I don't remember the last time I had it.
Anyway, it smells so good. Damn you, Craigie. Take your cookies out of here when you leave.